Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
On this message, I wanted to talk about how the great commission Christ gave to his people while he was on the earth is central to the original gospel. We don't hear a whole lot about it these days. Pastors are growing their church businesses and therefore have little or no time to be teaching and preaching the Word of God, and also setting forth others to do the same, which is what is stated concerning elders in the body of Christ in Ephesians 4:11-12. They are equipping the members of the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. Jesus himself says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." So we are sent. That's John 20:21. "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." You see, Jesus came on mission from the Father and then sent us on mission, and we call it the Great Commission. Recently, I read where someone noted that Jesus died to do what we could do, and then he sent us to do what he could do, and the fact that he's now seated back at the right hand of the Father, having sent his Spirit to live inside of each and every one of his children. When they're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into us, and we're new creatures in Christ. And then right after that, he said, "All things have become of God. All things are new. Old things are passed away. And we are Christ's ambassadors." 2 Corinthians 5. And perhaps we should state out loud what Jesus said. Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." Luke 2:49. "All things have passed away and all things have become new." We have a new mission, and that's the Great Commission. And we have all the power of God in and outside of us to accomplish what he sent us to do. Again, Jesus said while he was on the earth, "I must be about my Father's business." And I want to ask you rhetorically, friend, are you personally about the Father's business? Is your life all about the life of Christ and making him known and participating in that great commission to teach and to preach his word? John 20:21-23. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." John 20:21-23, speaking of the remission of sins, Jesus foretold that he was going to shed his blood for the remission of sins of his people. Matthew 26:28, "And Jesus told us to go and preach the gospel of repentance, and those that believe, they're going to be saved," right? Mark 16:15-16, and Luke 24:47. So the tale of two kingdoms that are transpiring in the earth today, because there are only two kingdoms, and that's the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of hell, or the kingdom of Satan. All who are born again into the kingdom of Christ by the miracle of God upon repentance and faith are the children of the kingdom of Christ, and everyone else without exception is in the kingdom of Satan. So many have blurred the lines because their spirit and their mind is not sharpened by the Word of God. Even believers who somehow lose track of this absolute kingdom fact. Jesus said, "You're either with me or you are against me." Matthew 12:30. There is no neutral ground. Jesus told us that we live in a adulterous and sinful generation. And yet, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Matthew 12:39 and Romans 5:20. And so the scriptures make it clear that we have an adulterous generation versus a grace abounding generation. That would be the remnant of Christ elect on the earth, alive today on his earth in this late hour as we look for fervently for his soon return. And there is an increased attention being paid upon putting forth the gospel of Christ among God's people. In fact, anyone who is truly God's Christ disciple is going to be participating in one way or the other, or at least in one way, with the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. This is opportunity to lay up treasure in heaven. Everything on the earth that we have or have had or temporarily have or going to have in the future is absolutely like dust in the wind. It has no eternal value. And so we send forth the treasure into eternity by using the temporal things that we have, including money, to further the eternal kingdom of Christ. Amen. The work of the gospel is no work on the earth, friends, that is transpiring of eternal significance, except the gospel is no work on the earth that is even remotely important compared to the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, if you're listening to me and you earn money, which would be, I would assume, most of us, definitely all the men, you're actually earning that money. The Bible says that we're to work so that we have to give. Ephesians 4:28. Not have in order to see how deep we can entrench ourselves in this fleeting world, but so that we have in order to give. Ephesians 4:28. So that becomes your seed or your tool or your weapon, if you will, to use for the eternal blessing of Christ, for him to be glorified in the lives of more and more people. And also, he promises you that it's actually going to lay up treasure in heaven for you also. Jesus instructs that we pray to the Father to send forth his laborers into his harvest. Notice he said this, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." That's Matthew 24:14. Can we even begin to fathom the blessing of being privileged to be the very ambassadors for Christ in our day? You know, as I mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Lord said that we are his ambassadors. Amen. We're here representing him. 1 John 3:1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, as such the ambassadors for Christ." Amen. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Again, that's 1 John 3:1. So Jesus speaks of the harvest, which is plentiful, and yet the laborers are few. Notice the laborers are few. Jesus went about all the cities. I love this passage. It's at the end of Matthew 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Notice Jesus went to the people, as we see in most cases, or if not all. Jesus didn't build a building, neither did his apostles, and invite people to come to it. I'm not saying that's automatically a sin, but I will say that most of the things that are going on in these supposed designated church buildings is not of the kingdom of Christ. Very little of it is, we should say, in this late hour where the Bible foretold that there would be great apostasy among those who claim to be the church of Christ, but aren't. They have a mere form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're not about the Father's business. They're about building their own kingdom, or their own kingdom, and their own business, all in the name, but not in the doctrine and the substance and the emulation of Christ. So they're taking his name in vain, which the scripture warns against. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain," and the Ten Commandments, the third one. And a lot of times we just think that is maybe saying the GD, words. No, it would mean to profess one thing and do another thing, to profess Christ and yet not do things his way. Put his name on something, if you will, that just for our own self-serving purposes, without it glorifying him, because it's not being done the way that he has has ordained it and told us it's to be done. So Matthew 9:35-38, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And what did he do when he walked about in the cities and villages? He was teaching in their synagogues, okay, the Jewish synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He met the needs of the people as he preached to them. He also healed every sickness and every disease among the people. And don't you know Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And we should be bold and assertive to pray in the name of Jesus as we're the earliest believers of Christ and let God do his work. Amen. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And Father, we stop right now. We ask you to send forth laborers into your harvest. And God, we know that those that are sent, those that are called to go, must be sent by others of your people. And we ask that this would all come into place yet more and more in this late hour. In Jesus' name, amen. I was referring in that prayer, by the way, to Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him, and that's the people in those cities and villages like Jesus went into, how shall they call on him? As he just said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 13 in Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. What a golden passage here. If the lost are going to hear the gospel, it's going to have to be by way of those God has sent. And if those that God has sent are going to go forth, they must be supported. Notice verse 15. How shall they preach? That's those that are sent, called out of God, except they be sent. So everybody gets
to participate in the blessing here.
And every true child of God delights to
participate in the work of the Savior
who saved them. Amen. So keep in mind that any and all true gospel ministry outreaches will be able to make a greater and greater impact for Christ with just a few more monthly sustaining partners. God is able, saints, and he will multiply the seed that we sow that he puts in our hands. And I can tell you that any, not only out of experience, but biblically qualified, those ministries that are truly doing the work of the kingdom of Christ in most cases do not have a large following or
support base.
I can tell you that. So that's
our opportunity
to jump in there and sign up. You know, we sign up for so many things today, you know,
cable or streaming TV
or monthly money coming out of the account for this and
that. And
the first thing we should
do is to ask God to forgive us
if we haven't signed up and committed
a certain amount of the money he's giving us.
First, God has to come first.
We often talk about how getting up in the morning,
we all agree. I mean, I
don't know if I've ever met anybody that doesn't agree.
Please forgive me if I'm being a little bit too persuasive or calculated about this, but if we don't get up and seek God first, we don't put him first. Like the Bible says, someone has noted that the Bible says 63 times it speaks of morning prayer, early morning prayer. In other words, you put God first in your day, right? If we don't put God first in
our time is definitely going to get away from us.
And he's not first in our life. If we put him first in our life, he'll come first in our time with our treasure. Amen. And when we put him first, we can have a clear conscience that we are putting God first. And there's going to be a blessing associated with that. And there's so many promises in scripture of God's blessing upon those who do his will and give into his kingdom.
It's amazing what happens when we get very deliberate about putting God first in everything.
Notice Proverbs 3 verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That would be your money. money. Somebody, you know, you hear people say, well, in the Old Testament, they didn't tithe money. Listen, money is a mere medium of exchange. And so this is the substance he's speaking of here, not limited to money, but it definitely, that sounds like that's coming from people who want to hold on to their money because their money is their God. And Jesus said, no man can serve God and mammon. Ministries can't, well, yeah, it would help them if they, their family, if somebody's called them to ministry, which is always going to be a man, has food on his table, but that's usually procured by the family these days by using money, a medium of exchange. So honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Notice the first, not the second, but the first fruits of all thine increase. Then here's the promise. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so, you know, when we encounter ministries that are doing the work of Christ, that's opportunity. That's the opportunity God lays right in front of us to be able to lay up treasure in heaven for all eternity. Jesus commanded us to lay up treasure in heaven, not on earth. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, I started reading. I already read that part. Lay not up, he says before that, for yourselves treasures upon earth. Do not build your life on this earth. Do not entrench yourself in this fleeting world. It's a big waste. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's a mandate, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Okay, so the Great Commission, what is it that we
call the Great Commission?
Well, to sum it up, it's the Father's business. And we must ask ourselves again, are we about the Father's business or about our own business? That's an interesting question. It should be always on our mind. Jesus said that he must be about his Father's business, Luke 2:49. And the same is true for each and every authentic follower of Jesus today in this last hour before he returns. They are about the Father's business and not their own. In contrast, deceivers mind
earthly things,
as Paul put it. Why? Because
their God
is their belly. They glory in what they should
be ashamed of,
and they mind earthly things. This is Philippians 3:18-19. Those who are ready to meet Christ are living the crucified life, and their affections
are set upon
Christ above. Colossians 3:1-4. The Father's business that Jesus was about while he was on the earth is to feed his sheep and to win lost souls. John 21:15-17, Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep three times. I believe it was feed my sheep and feed my lambs. Anyone claiming to be Christ who is not daily all about seeing his sheep fed and equipped and lost souls saved is backslidden and in utter need of true repentance and a laying down of their life in this fleeting world. Matthew, the end of Matthew, the last verses of Matthew, verses 18-20 of Matthew 28, Jesus says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is Jesus's earth, saints. Psalm 24:1, the earth is, who does it belong to? Here it is. The earth is the Lord's. Why? Because he made it. And by reason of
creation,
he owns everything that's ever been made, because only he made those things, including every soul. Ezekiel 18:4, he says, all souls are mine. So by reason of creation, God owns everything. And Jesus is saying to us, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach, there's the teach word, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, there it is again, see, teach in verse 19, and then we see teaching them what? To observe all things
whatsoever
I commanded you. That means everything on record in his word from Genesis to Revelation. And lo, I am with you. You're not alone. I'm with you on this mission. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What a blessing. And notice this passage is often perverted in the new versions of the Bible, and it reads in those new versions, not the King James, that we're to go make disciples. But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say that anywhere. I'd be real careful to reprogram on that one, because all of us have maybe even said that. We're here to make disciples. Well, no, we're here to teach the word, and individuals have to choose to be disciples. And see, the reason why, in my estimation, Jesus didn't say go make disciples, because he knows the sinful tendencies of men to make disciples unto themselves instead of Christ. It's an easy half step. You know, it's a half a step to make disciples, and then a half step to make them unto yourself, if you will. I'm trying to communicate something, but the sinful tendency of men, if we were told by Jesus, which we were not, to go make disciples, is to make those disciples unto themselves, unto their ministry name, and not unto Christ. See, when you just teach the Bible, people choose to obey it or not to obey it. And it's a savor of life unto life, or death unto death, according to Paul. That would be 2 Corinthians 2:16. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. So when people hear the message of Christ that we are to be constantly putting out there, teaching and preaching his gospel truth, they're going to choose to obey and be his disciple, or they're not. Mark 16, at the end of the next gospel, the second of the four, in order, in canonical order, Jesus, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's Mark 16, 15 and 16. The next verse, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall
be damned.
So it's a life and
death
message to those that hear it, and they're either going to obey Jesus and become his disciple, or they're going to reject him.
Let me stop right here to say, God does not ever force or coerce anyone to come into his kingdom. It must be a free will offering of the recipient of the salvation of Christ, which God provided.
The third Great Commission portion of the Great Commission is found in the end of the next, the third of the four Gospels, and that would be Luke 24:47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. That's Luke 24:47 and 48. Okay, and then the end of the fourth gospel, Jesus, as we read earlier, said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And then he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I believe this was in his post-resurrection ministry. And then the next book, the fifth book in the canon of New Testament scripture, is the baptism in the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost, when many believe that the church was born, and that's what Jesus is referring to here. And then again, this is the Great Commission in all four of its renditions or varieties here at the end of each of the four Gospels. And doing the actual work, or fueling the Great Commission work of Christ, makes you an obedient participant in Christ's work, for which you shall forever be rewarded. We're all going to give account also for whether or not we obeyed Jesus. Amen. If we are not about loving Jesus and his people today and reaching out to the lost, we are not about the Father's business, because that's why the Father sent his only begotten Son. Jesus said that the Son of Man has come seeking to save that which was lost. He didn't come to condemn the world, but the whole world should be saved through him. Luke 19:10, also Luke chapter, 9, verse 56, and John 3:17. He didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, right? And then it says in 1 Timothy 1:15, the Son of Man, Jesus, is come to ransom all men. He paid for the sins of man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, and then chapter 1, verse 15, says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation or acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. And that should be our testimony, that Jesus saved us sinners. it would be healthy, as it was with Paul, to realize no one needs Jesus more than I need him. He mercifully saved me, and I'm going to go tell others
about this great Savior who died
on the cross and saved me so that they can be saved. We overcome
by the blood of the Lamb and
the word of our testimony, right? Revelation 12:11. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that's the message that we are communicating to the lost around us and to those that get saved. We're feeding them so they grow, they're equipped, they grow in the grace of Christ, and they're healthy in Christ, they're ready for his return, they're full of the oil of heaven by fellowshipping with Christ and his people. They're like the five wise virgins of Matthew 25:1-14 in Jesus's parable of the 10 virgins, who are ready to meet the bridegroom. Amen. Staying always ready, always full, always fed and fueled in his work also. If we are not about loving Jesus and his people today and reaching out to the lost, we are not about the Father's business. This would mean that we are doing our own thing, we're minding earthly things in a self-centered fashion and not doing Christ's work, and we will be found as unprofitable servants, according to Jesus's parable of the talents, and we're going to be cast into hell, is what it says. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14 through 30. In fact, verse 30, Jesus says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And notice, the Father's business is the Great Commission, make no mistake. And Jesus gave that command to us. Ask yourself if the men you believe are true pastors are actually intent upon daily accomplishing the Father's business of the Great Commission Jesus mandated, or are they building their own kingdom in the name of Christ, using Christian and Christ and the outer facade, the trimmings, to build their own kingdoms. Stand back and ask, discern if they are truly feeding with his pure word and equipping and watching for the souls of Christ's sheep, or are they corralling people in order to exploit them and to make merchandise of them, as we're often warned, including in 2 Peter chapter 2. You see, there's no work on the earth, as I mentioned earlier, on God's earth, that is even remotely as important as the work of Christ's gospel, which pertains to the eternal souls of men. The Great Commission, that is. Are you participating? Are you feeding Christ's sheep? Are you helping in that way? Also, are you ministering the gospel to the lost around you? Those are two rhetorical questions every believer should be asking. And as we come to a close, friend, remember Jesus warned us that there would be commotions going on in the world just before his return. And you and I both know from looking out around us at the news and information we get that there's a whole lot of commotion going on that wasn't happening a couple of 3 years ago. Christ and his holy apostles and prophets foretold of the multiplicity of commotions, he used that word, Jesus did, that would be transpiring in the final days before Jesus' return. Notice Luke 21:9, "But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions," notice commotions, "be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." So should the disciple of Jesus in this late hour focus on the commotions or upon Christ and his great commission that he gave to us? Well, the answer is obvious. So why should we be surprised about all these things, these commotions that are transpiring all around us in our towns, our nations, so-called education system, and everything around us in this world? Why should the remnant disciple of Christ focus on the commotions instead of Christ and doing what he sent us to do? Amen. Being about the Father's business. Heavenly Father, we ask you to quicken us by your word and your holy fear. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. Lord, fill us afresh with your spirit and anoint us in this late hour, Lord, to do great exploits out of a oneness relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Let our cups run over to those around us, Lord, and multiply the seed back to those who have sown their seed that you've given them into your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.